I'm Nicole Heslip with Brownfield Ag News reporting from World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. Today, joined by Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation. Chris, welcome. Can you share a little bit more about some of those top news stories when we talk about World Dairy Expo and some of the world news in the dairy industry this week?
It has not been a quiet week as far as dairy policy goes, Nicole. Obviously, there's a lot of discussion here in Madison about what the implications are for the agreement that the U.S. reached with Canada and overall the future of not NAFTA now, but the U.S.-Mexico-Canada free trade agreement. So that's a big issue here. One of the other things that we're talking about this week is that our Farmers Assuring Responsible Management program has a new module to help dairy farmers deal with workforce needs and labor and bringing along farm workers. So that's a new tool that we have unveiled here this week at the Dairy Expo to help our members. And then the other thing that's happening right now is that the dairy industry is in a very pitched battle with the fake dairy products. And so we are asking a lot of folks who are defending the good name of dairy to weigh in with our Food and Drug Administration about why this is an issue that consumers need to care about as well.
Let's start with the trade front. When you look at the new NAFTA deal, as far as some of the reception, we can also get that feedback from Canadian and Mexican visitors here at the show. What has been some of the feedback from U.S. producers as well as what you're hearing from those other dairy countries?
Yeah. I think the biggest headline here, Nicole, is that this agreement keeps intact the overall architecture of NAFTA, even though it's going to have a new name here. But the key here is that we have a North American free trade agreement. We will hopefully not lose any of our business with Mexico. We still have tariffs there that are impeding some of our exports. Hopefully those tariffs will be lifted in the very near future. And so our number one export market remains intact. We have additional market access to Canada, which has been one of our goals. It's not a huge increase, but every little bit helps. Canada is going to have to do away with its Class 7 export subsidy program, which was a form of unfair competition in global markets, so that's good news. A lot of the details, of course, and the long-term implications of the deal with Canada, we have to wait and see as this whole agreement gets implemented. But I think the takeaway here is that overall, even though it has a new name, NAFTA is intact. The U.S. is still a leader in international trade, and hopefully this will allow the administration now to focus on dealing with China, which is the other point of contention in global trade that really needs to be resolved.
Dairy products from the U.S. still facing those tariffs from Mexico. Do you see a potential agreement moving forward that could leave those tariffs in place?
Well, we want the tariffs to be lifted, actually. Right now, even though we have this tentative agreement with both Mexico and Canada, the tariffs on steel and aluminum imports from Mexico and Canada are still in place, and therefore Mexico is still keeping in place its tariffs on agricultural products, including almost all of our cheese. So those need to be lifted sooner rather than later, and hopefully then that will normalize trade with Mexico and really allow us to fully benefit from this revised NAFTA, the new improved U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
Do you think the agreement could be signed with those tariffs still in place, or that would be a sticking point by all countries?
Well, it's certainly a sticking point. The big question now is there's a period of time during which Congress has to review this deal. It may be that it doesn't actually get voted on until January or sometime earlier in 2019. It's possible that the Congress that we have today in Washington will be different in composition and different in leadership in 2019. So that is something of a wild card there. It also, of course, has to be approved by Canada and Mexico, and they've got some changes in leadership, certainly in Mexico, coming down the pike. So I would say this is not the beginning of the end of the negotiations. It's really the end of the beginning phase. But now we have to move on to the approval phase, and that's going to take time. And there are still some things that could happen that could derail the process.
In the meantime, how much of the U.S. dairy industry is still impacted by tariffs and other trade issues?
Well, Mexico, again, being our largest export market, the market for a lot of our cheese exports, those tariffs are still in place. In some cases, U.S. exporters have been eating the cost of the tariffs, either alone or in conjunction with their customers. So obviously, everyone would like to see those tariffs go away so we can get back to the duty-free access for cheese and other dairy products that we've had in Mexico. That's what we really need to see happen in the short term.
This week, the current 2014 Farm Bill really ran out of time for the dairy industry. Are there particular issues or programs that will have ended now because that hasn't been extended?
Really, for dairy, nothing major changes as we end the fiscal year and with it the authorization for the Farm Bill that was created in 2014. Our main safety net program, the Margin Protection Program, is authorized through calendar year 2018. The other thing, fortunately, is it looks like milk prices and margins are improving so that even if the MPP were not in place, it wouldn't be generating payments anyway because margins here in the last 3 or 4 months of the year are going to be above the threshold where the program would kick in.
A lot of dairy farmers across the country concerned with the low milk prices they've been receiving. At the national level, is there more discussion about reestablishing or readjusting the federal order pricing system or taking some control of that production?
I think at this point the federal order system is going to be mended. I don't see any major changes in it. Certainly there's no desire in Congress to have to refight a battle that we fought 5 years ago on supply management, which there are some farmers who still would like that, but that's not going to be part of this Farm Bill when it does get done, and we're hoping it'll get done sooner rather than later. So hopefully what will happen is that as we resolve our trade issues in the NAFTA group and then hopefully with China, that plus better alignment of supply and demand through the marketplace will improve prices and we can move on.
Taking it back to the National Farm Program you mentioned, what is the newest update this week and what NMPF is releasing?
Yeah. Well, the Farm Program has been in place now for almost a decade, and it started out and it still mainly focuses on providing best practices for animal care because we know that an increasing number of consumers are interested in how animals are treated that are used in the food supply, including dairy cows. We've also provided information on the proper use of antibiotics because that certainly is a public health concern and something where there's additional scrutiny. And we also have a module on environmental stewardship and sustainability because that too is an emerging issue that's affecting all of agriculture. This latest one that we're announcing this week at the Dairy Expo is called Workforce Development. Obviously, a lot of farms need help and you want to make certain that you have tools for the proper hiring, benefits, training of workers. There's certainly an increase in the use of workers from Hispanic-speaking countries or Spanish-speaking countries rather, where English is not the primary language, and so that can create some cultural as well as language barriers. And so there's just a whole set of materials that we have created working with farmers and cooperatives and processors, asking questions about what else would farmers find useful in the hiring and keeping of workers. Everyone we talk to here has challenges finding adequate labor, right? And so part of it is we need to make certain that we have the best labor and hiring practice information out there to help farmers deal with that situation.
What is milk? A question being debated at the national level at the Food and Drug Administration and how that will be essentially labeled. With that comment period open, are you taking comments here at World Dairy Expo or how are you encouraging producers to become involved?
Yes, so basically at the end of September, the FDA opened a 60-day comment period, basically asking to what extent are consumers confused or being misled about these plant-based products that market themselves as milk or yogurt or ice cream or cheese, and what information can be provided to us to help us guide the process of regulating these fake milks in the future. So what we're doing right now is we're looking at existing consumer research, because that's what FDA is asking for. We're looking at doing some additional consumer attitudinal research to provide FDA more specific answers to its questions. But we will be providing a lot of information to our members and others in the dairy community who want to weigh in with FDA. Certainly everyone can write into the docket and say, this is a concern to me as a farmer or as a dairy processor, and the FDA ought to do something. We need to go a little further than that, though, and talk about why this is a problem, what the implications are and provide some data points to substantiate it. So that's what we're in the middle of gathering. I'll also say, Nicole, that we have asked the FDA for more time. They're asking for a lot of information. So what we're asking of the FDA is, hey, we need more than 2 months in order to be able to fulfill this request. So we're hoping that they will give us at least another month or two, which would take us past the holidays, which is the other complicating factor, so that we have enough time to really provide substantive, thoughtful comments to FDA.
Between now and the end of 2018, what else is on the radar or other things in the work for NMPF?
Well, let's see. I think one of the other things that we're expecting from a regulatory standpoint, Nicole, is the USDA at some point is going to come out with its requirement for the disclosure of genetically modified ingredients in the food supply. They're actually changing the name to bioengineering or bioengineered ingredients. Our concern is making certain that they clearly distinguish just because you may feed GMO crops like corn and soy and canola to dairy cows, that does not then require any type of label disclosure on the resulting milk or cheese or other dairy products. But the other big question is going to be for things like sugars that come from high fructose corn syrup or sugar beet sugar, will those be required to be labeled? There probably be some type of requirement which would affect dairy foods that use sugars like flavored milk or ice cream or yogurt. So that's something that we've been very closely watching. We've been telling USDA what to do here so that we don't see a lot of burdensome reporting requirements, but that we also get consumers information they want to know.
Again, Chris Galen with NMPF, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
I'm Nicole Heslip with Brown Field.